الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. With regard to keeping Roza's fasting, we have been explaining for a few days that it is not only the basics of Roza, which are the farais, which are the absolute essentials, that is staying away from food, drink, and also from one's sexual desires. But it is that a person must keep a complete roza. And some mufassireen, ulama who made the tafsir of the Quran Sharif, have stated that kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that rozas have been made farz upon you, fasting has been made farz upon you, that is upon every part of the body. And this is really, if we go and see, is also what the very purpose of a khanqa is. And a person becomes bay'at to a sheikh is also for the same purpose. The fasting, Allah says at the end of this ayat, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you might acquire taqwa. And to stay in the company of the pious also, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah Ta'ala. And how to fear Allah? كُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. To get the taqwa, be with the sadiqeen, with those people who are truthful in their words and who are honest and sincere. Stay with such people and taqwa will come into you. Roza, fasting, Allah also says, is in order to acquire the same taqwa. And a person in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. The friends of Allah Ta'ala are those people who are muttaqeen, who have got taqwa. And they are those who are sadiq fit taqwa. Not a matter of giving a talk of taqwa. Not a matter of wearing clothes of taqwa. But that a person has got taqwa in him. In all his matters, that he has got taqwa. And we will be tested continuously. Allah Ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. We will be tested even in this day and age. And according to a person's level, his test will be according to that. A grade 1 child won't be given the exam paper of a grade 12 child. He will be given a grade 1. So according to one's level, Allah Ta'ala, and also, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Every person according to his capability, his istidad, Allah Ta'ala will test that person. So we all will be tested. And this, whether we are truthful in taqwa, for example, a traffic officer stops you for speeding. At that time your taqwa will be tested. That are you going to now offer him a bribe or what? And many other things. Occasions of lying. You don't want to take a call. You tell the wife, just tell him, I'm not here, I'm not in. Or you tell your secretary. So these tests will come continuously. So roza is to bring that taqwa within us. And that will happen when we will keep our roza, our fast, with all its requirements. Then it will be very, very simple. For the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, for example that we had given, we will repeat it. It is very beneficial that when they were conquering Baytul Muqaddas, and they were stationed at one place, and there was a little delay in the whole procedure, and they were making namaz salat at another place. So the priest of Baytul Muqaddas said that in order, Allah's help is with these people. And in order to take away Allah's help, get them involved in sin. And then Allah's help will be taken away. And then you will win. They won't be able to conquer your land at all. So what they planned for that is took their most beautiful young girls and laden them with the jewelry and told them to stand on that path that they will be walking in order to go for the salat five times a day. But the Amir of the Jamaat asked a Qari to read, and a Qari really is one who reads from his heart, not one who changes his facial features when he's reading and all that, and he performs. That's more performing. But a person who reads, Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to also say that for your Imam to try and avoid having a Qari who is only interested in his qiraat, how in the tone and impressing people, to read according to the rules of tajweed, that is absolutely essential. But this all, what is today known in the world, and where qiraats take place, and the Qari fixes an amount of money also, for each qiraat so much money, or for the whole tour so much money, etc. All this kind. So the Qari was actually that type of a Qari who was an Allah fearing person. And he only read one part of an ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that when they were going, say to the believing man that they must cast their gazes low. Just as we read now in the kitab, Maulana Zubair read about the Quran Sharif, how much don't we read the Quran? But how much of the Quran are we applying in our lives? How much are we practicing upon it? And this is a great gift and a great interceder and a great prosecutor also on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah have lot of mercy upon us, and that we abide by the Quran Sharif, the teachings of the Quran Sharif, the respect, the azmat of the Quran Sharif, fulfill the rights of the Quran Sharif to recite it, etc., and to have the utmost of respect, etc. So anyway, so if we will fast how we are required to fast, then the taqwa will come into us. Then a person, he won't forget women offering themselves to you. You won't go and look at women. And today, as unfortunately we have to repeat so much, it's not a matter of going on the roads and other places. It's all in your hand. It's all in your pocket today. All the worst filth and dirt is with you right here in the masjid also. And unfortunately also, today for a few days we are making mashura because the brothers don't want to cooperate with regard to the use of the cell phone. And they are using it through the late hours of the night. And they are watching all different type of things on the cell phone. So therefore, we have decided for the temporarily now, that only for making or receiving calls. And that also we can't control. It's everyone's own responsibility from who are you making calls to, who are you receiving calls from. It's not in our control, but we take it that it is from home for some necessity. And really, the object of i'tikaf, seclusion, is that you are secluded with Allah. You no other interference be with you. Your contact is only with Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala. That is really the object of i'tikaf. And this is an islahi i'tikaf. This is not only an i'tikaf, but it is for our islah. And for that, even more so, that a person should not have any contact. When a person goes for islah also, even in jamaat, one of the things that is taught is to mix less with people. For necessity, you go for gush, you go and buy the necessities for your food, you're going to eat, etc. All that is in order. But unnecessarily to be talking. But today, talking has become a style and a way of life. Just to be talking, blabbering away all the time. A person just can't stay without it. Either he must be talking or others must be talking. So anyway, for that reason, the cell phone, what we have decided for now, for this year, that only for calls, and that also only in the basement. Don't switch off your phone when you are here on this floor here, or the top floor. Because also today we know the beeping of the tone of the phone is taking place all the time. You might be getting messages, you might be expecting messages, but the person next to you is fast asleep, you disturb his sleep. And there are so many light sleepers that once his sleep is disturbed, they can't fall asleep again. And if you don't get a proper sleep, you can't perform properly during the day. Your tilawat of Quran Sharif, your concentration is not there. Your namaz, your concentration is not there. Now in the bayan, your concentration is not there. To have a proper rest It's necessary, as Allah made it. Every person is different. Some people need require less time. Somebody require more time for their resting. But that rest is necessary and important. And we are causing inconvenience to other people. And which comes in the Hadith Sharif, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A perfect and complete Muslim is he who does not cause any inconvenience to any other person, either by his tongue or by his hand. And these are just which are commonly used to cause inconvenience, otherwise in any form. To inconvenience any person is not permitted. And we have come here to try and become good Muslims, to try and become perfect Muslims. But right in the very source, if there we are doing or we are causing inconvenience, then how are we going to become good Muslims? Like for example, many brothers ask also that concentration in namaz. So that is a subject which we will discuss inshallah. But the concentration of namaz is that we have to do a cause in concentration, which is a cause in zikr. That means for at least minimum 40 days we do our zikr properly, with punctuality and the proper way, then we will be able to focus. Zikr will teach us to focus, and not only on deeni matters, but even on dunya's matters. Many people, in dunya's matters also, they don't focus. We know today commonly, a person is driving, but he doesn't focus on his driving. He's looking around, and with the cell phone, people are even texting messages while driving also. Okay? So you don't focus. Zikr is to teach you to focus, and then you will get focus in your namaz. Otherwise, many people, whole life passes, but we just cannot focus in our namaz, because we are not doing the cause in zikr. Do a cause of 40 days. But if our zikr we are not focusing, then how is it going to bring focus in the other things again? So just like that. Yeah, if our i'tikaf, we have come for our islah, but yeah, we are not doing what we are supposed to do, then how is our islah going to take place? Whether it is, it's not just that a matter of speaking, it applies to me, it applies to all of us. We need our islah, and we need islah till our maut. So we have to keep our rozas, our fasting, we have to do it properly. So we discussed with regard to the basics that every Muslim knows, that we must stay away. And also one important principle that comes out from here, what is fasting really, roza? Roza is to stay away from permissible things. Now, if food is halal, your food which you have got is halal food. From haram food, even out of Ramzan, you have to stay away. But in Ramzan, from your halal food, you are to stay away. From your halal drink, you are supposed to stay away. And haram, woman, etc., or bad thoughts about other people, looking down upon somebody, that is haram all the time. Not only in Ramzan. In Ramzan, your halal wife, you have to abstain from her. And that is also again the very same teaching which is in becoming bay'at to a sheikh for islah, staying in a khanqah, where from permissible things you have to stay away, so that you are trained to stay away from the haram. So yeah, in the roza also, we were discussing over 2-3 days about the usage of the eyes. That yeah, while if we want to train ourselves, stay away from the haram also. From the halal, then you will be able to stay away from the haram. But if we are falling into haram while we are in i'tikaf, then how are we going to stay away from haram when we are outside the masjid, when we are outside Ramadan? So therefore, it is very important that we try and observe these rules, and we implement them in our lives if we do want any benefit from our i'tikaf and our islahi i'tikaf for our islah. So, with regard to the eyes, just for the brothers who are not here, though we will, inshallah, summarize tomorrow, but that we should not be looking at any haram whatsoever. And try and avoid even permissible things not to look. Even to other permissible things, try and keep away. There may be some permissible things which a person can be looking at, but try and avoid that also. And other haram things, looking at other women, for example, well, yeah, in the masjid, inshallah, there is no opportunity to look at live women. But today, shaitan is working, and Dajjal's overtime working. It has brought it right into the masjid also. And what we might think to be jais, like we're watching news, for example, and it's a female news reader, that also is not permitted. Or any other, which the cell phone, basically avoid it. What real need is there for us to really contact our people? Though business is allowed when the goods are not present, but a person has come for etika, for seclusion. He has not come here to do business while he's here. He has come for a purpose here. The same thing, we go in Jamaat. We didn't go in Jamaat to go and view samples in another country or something, or to make bulk contacts and to do business with those people. We went for Jamaat. So let us keep it exclusive for that purpose. So the one thing that we had discussed over 2-3 days was with regard to the eyes, that we should control our eyes completely. Another thing that we have to keep roza about and control ourselves is the tongue, roza of the tongue. This is also extremely important. And here also, stay away from even permissible things. Things which we are encouraged to do, tilawat of Quran Sharif, by all means, as much as we can manage, do zikrullah, do as much as possible. But just talking, casual talking, this we should avoid completely, even which is permissible. There are many foreigners also who are here. There are many people of other towns also. And by nature, insan is inquisitive to ask them, how are you? How's things in your country? What's the weather like in that? Stay away from all this. We don't have to get involved in this. Yesterday we mentioned in the Khanqah of Hadrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and this was in our time which we knew. This must be in all the Khanqahs, but we don't know what we know of, that two brothers, for example, three brothers stayed in one room for a period of 40 days, for a period of 4 months, and at the end of that, they didn't know one another's names also, after such a long period. Because it's permissible to ask the name, what's your name, from where do you come, what do you do? But for us, those are the most important things. And one great thing by which I gained a lot of inspiration, and many other brothers also gained a lot of inspiration, that Maulana Muhammad Makki Sahib, Damat Barakatum of Makkah Sharif, when he was visiting our country, they took him like very, very specially to go and see the Kimberley Big Hole. Which normally if a person will do this for his guest, if somebody comes to show them. But Maulana was so upset, he was so so angry. He said, you have come, brought me so far just to show me a hole. What is a hole? For us it's a very big thing. But for you, say, what's a hole? You came to show me a hole. What are you showing me? So like that, to ask one another names, etc. What do you do? How many people in your family? All those things. In fact, one person, a young boy, was asking an elderly person in the train, that, uncle, what is the time? So he said, 5 past. He asked him again, now, 5 past what? He didn't say that. After a little while, he said, 8 minutes past. After a little while, 12 minutes past. So they say, somebody told him, why don't you tell him the full time? 8 minutes past 8. 12 minutes past 9, whatever it is, why don't you tell him the full time? He said that, if I tell him the full time, the next he's going to ask me my name. He's going to strike up a conversation. Then he's going to ask me about my family. And possibly, then I have a daughter and he'll propose marriage to her. A person who hasn't got a watch, I must give my daughter to such a person. So I cut it off right from the root, so that the talk doesn't go further. So just like that, yeah, also, just cut out everything else. In Jamaat, we are taught also, don't give your name and address, and nowadays email and all phone numbers to people. There are many people who have got other agendas. Yeah, also, there are people who got other agendas. And you give them, and the next you see when you reach home, now the person is contacting me for something else completely. I thought we are friends in the Khanqah, and on the basis of hubbillah, Hope lillah, love for Allah Ta'ala's sake, love in the name of Allah. But now I see he had some other agenda all the time. And this happens in Jamaat also. That in fact, one place we went, and how careful a person must be. Lot of people got lot of agendas. So after the talk we had, it was another country, and the people came in all embracing and meeting. And we also sometimes get carried away. Oh, I'm a very big buzur. See how the people are meeting me. But later at night, I found my cell phone is missing. Everywhere we looked for it, then I realized, in that whole procedure, people with other agendas, they are going into your pockets also. And whatever they can find, they take also. Whether it's money, cash, whether it's a cell phone or whatever. So we have to be very careful of all our things. So therefore, don't become, and familiarity breeds contempt. This is a common thing we know, that when you become too familiar, and this happens on a daily basis also. So keep your distance and you will be safe. When you become too friendly, then you get involved in other things that happen also. So the tongue is a very, very important thing that we should keep roza of the tongue. That is, not only haram is definitely there, even out of roza, even if we did not come for i'tikaf, even if we did not come for our islah, but to control the tongue, not to allow any haram word to come out, is farad upon us. And if we have to consider how Allah has made it, the tongue is such a thing. Now on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the punishment of Jahannam, etc. One sahabi was surprised that just by one word a person will land in Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught his tongue or the sahabi's tongue, and he said that it is just on the basis of this, the small little thing, that how many people will land in the fire of Jahannam. The tongue, if we don't use it carefully, and Allah Ta'ala has made the system. See, when a child is in the womb of the mother, then at that time, after about 4 months, 4 months, 10 days, roughly in that period, life, ruh, comes into the child. And the child stays alive in the mother's womb for about another 5 months full. More or less 5 months, the child is alive. And in that period, the child needs nourishment, food as well. And Allah has made in His wisdom, and how lot wisdoms only Allah knows. Nobody can know all the wisdom. Allah made the food of the child the monthlies of the mother. Therefore, during pregnancy, a mother doesn't get her monthlies. In fact, that is the first sign that she's expecting. Her monthlies have stopped now. Now they are diverted towards the child. Now that dirty food, that monthlies is dirty blood. Blood is najis, is napak. And that monthly, that is how napak. But Allah in His wisdom, for one reason, Allah Ta'ala, huwa a'lamu bikum idh ansha'akum fi butuni ummahatikum. He knows you, what's it before? فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't act that you are a very pious person now. He knows you very well. What you have been made up of, and for this reason, man should never have pride in him. That his first food was that dirty, dirty. Today, how we carry on when we take a glass? This glass is dirty. In the house, with the wife, how we carry on? This plate is dirty. Just send it away. That can't you see? You're giving me food in a dirty plate. You're giving me today one person drinks water in a glass. When he wants to drink juice, another glass. Though he himself, and another person, your own brother, it's out of the question. One Jamaat that was in America, and a non-Muslim brother, he came in contact with the Jamaat, they invited him for meals. Negro brother, local black brother in America. And when he wanted water to drink, they gave him water in a glass. And then one of the Jamaat brothers wanted to drink. He took the glass and he drank, made takalluf from the same glass. That brother started crying profusely. When they asked him, what's wrong? We offended you, we hurt you. He said, I'm married so long, my wife will never drink from the glass I drank water from. And here you people are total strangers. But you, from the glass I drink, without any formality, without a rinsing the glass or anything, and no second thought, you're just drinking from there. What brotherhood there is in Islam? And on this little bit, let me digress, that su'urul mu'min, shifa. The leftovers of a mu'min, there is shifa in there. Today we are avoiding it, we don't want to drink. Brother and brother won't drink the leftovers from the glass. Brother won't drink from his sister's water that is left over. Today in our homes, in good homes, we regard it as dirty. Eh? And also, not only that, but there is love also in there. In the leftovers, may Allah give us tawfiq that we can come back to the time it is. There are many brothers who take the precaution that they eat in one plate. At least minimum two brothers. Many of our satis we see, and I envy them, that this the two brothers, they sharing from one plate. Three, four brothers we should share from one plate. There is shifa also in there. Eat your food as food before medicine becomes your food. And when we don't eat our food as food, then our medicine becomes our food. You find people taking 20 tablets, 30 tablets. Now medicine has become the food. But if we take our food as taught by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, our food will be our medicine. There is shifa in there. And the family, this is the reason why that masala is there, that if a strange man, a strange man has drunk water from a glass left over of his food, don't let the woman folk eat from there. Because it creates love. So, illicit love can start, may Allah protect us all by that. But the house people, if they will eat together and they eat from what together, it will create love in the family. Otherwise, today we know the hatred that is in many families, the fighting that carries on. Unbelievable what fighting happens and how fights carry on. Because of our basic things, we don't think, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You regard it as a small matter. It's a sunnah. We regard it, we just refer to it like that. But it's very big by Allah Ta'ala. That is why the whole Islamic culture, which is the sunnah culture, we have to really make effort to bring it into us in detail. Everything of it has got so much of value that we cannot understand. While on that point, one time a great sheikh, Arab sheikh of Egypt, Azhar, was visiting India, and in the procedure, in his travels, he went to Darul Uloom Deoband also. And he had meals with Hazrat Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Rahmatullah Ali, also a very great scholar. So Arabs normally eat with spoon and knife, fork, spoon, knife, they eat. And this is very common amongst them, amongst the laymen, amongst the religious people, it's very common. So he told Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Rahmatullah Ali, you also eat with a fork. And just see our buzurg, what caliber Allah has made of them. Immediately he put his hand like this, and he said, I am eating with a fork. This is also a fork. The four throngs of it, and a fork also, normally four, sometimes three, but also a fork. And at the same time, he said, my fork is better than your fork in four ways. That the first thing, my fork can bend. So I catch my food very easily. Whatever I want to, I take a piece of bread, roti, and I take some potatoes, some meat, whatever I want to, and I catch it. You, I see, with your two hands, knife one hand, fork the other hand, and sometimes that piece of meat is running this side, that side, and to capture it is a job for you. Whereas for me, to capture it is so easy. The second thing, my fork has got a thermometer in it. I feel the temperature of the food before I put something in my mouth. Is it too hot? Is it too cold or what? Your fork can't do that. And sometimes we put something too hot, you sip tea which was too hot. In fact, in one restaurant in another country, the lady wanted coffee. They brought the coffee and gave it to her. When she sipped it, it was so hot, she dropped it and it fell on her clothes. She laid a charge against the restaurant owners. And she won and she sued them that why they gave so hot coffee. When this has happened in the world, what can we expect today in the world? May Allah Ta'ala help us, protect us. Hey, the world is in one place, in one country, a crook went into the to steal. And on the stairs, there was something lying on the stairs, because of which he tripped, he fell, and he broke his leg. He sued the house people, and he won the case. He is gone as a trespasser, he is gone as a crook to steal there. And he won the case, and the house people had to pay him out for all that. So we are living, unfortunately, in such times. So what is sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So anyway, two he said that. One is, I can take my food very easily with my fork. Secondly, the temperature. Thirdly, with my fork, if by mistake I hit against my teeth or my gums, no pain, no problem. But with your fork, if you hit by mistake, blood can come out. You can even lose a tooth. You can get hurt. Your whole meal will be spoiled. And then, fourthly, after eating, a little bit of a fluid comes out in my fork. I lick my fingers. It's sunnah to lick the fingers after eating. And then digest my food. Your fork can't do that. Allah gave me tawfiq by the barakat of our buzurgs. I added three more things. That my fork is Allah made. Allah made my fork. Your fork is Chinese made, or any other country. And if it's Chinese made, probably halfway the meal, the fork will break also. And my fork, it's made by Allah, I'm using it whole lifetime. No problem I've got, I'm using it. Secondly, the world today is worried of hygiene. On that we came on this subject a little bit. And hygiene, your fork, we don't know who washed it, how they washed it. When you in the aeroplane, if you use their utensils, you see it was deep frozen. Otherwise, it is heated so much, according to them, to kill all the germs or whatever. But yeah, I washed my hands myself. Sunnah to wash hands before eating. So my fork, I know that I washed it. And the biggest thing of my fork, it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And your fork is the tariqah of some other nation and whoever else it might be. So how Lord benefits. We were in Jamaat and one lady added one more point also. She said that with this fork, yeah, you can clean your plate completely. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the utensil he ate in, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I would recognize that utensil because how clean it was cleaned out. And the utensil gives you du'as after that. With that fork you can't do that. There's so much of wastage in there. One article that just has come, that about about Saudi Arabia, the amount of wastage in food, about $1 million on a daily basis is being just food that is wasted. And this is mainly weddings, restaurants, eating out, etc. But also like that, we know people how they waste. And this is not why, I don't know why Saudi Arabia has to be singled out. The whole world, this wastage is at unprecedented levels. Whether it is water, just compare on the one side to make water from the mud. Or use a utensil, 750 milliliters, that little bit. But when we open our tap, and one time I saw one elderly person in the wuzukhana. He had opened the taps already. Now he started rolling up his sleeves. Now he's taking off his watch. Now he's pulling up. He had a long kurta. Now he's pulling it up. 10 people could have made wuzu with the water that went before he started making wuzu. And then we are crying that all our problems that we have got. And we should make a lot of tawbah and istighfar. One brother just informed me that riots that are taking place in some place due to some incident that had happened in South Africa, lot of tawbah and istighfar is required. Today we are committing gunas left, right and center, more than at factory level what the production of gunas are. And tawbah istighfar doesn't even come on our tongue. And the righteous and pious make tawbah and istighfar of their pious acts. And we open sins, cross transgression, and no tawbah istighfar. And many times we want to justify it even, our open sinning. So two main things he suggests that make a lot of tawbah and istighfar, and discourse, tell people the wrong they are doing, in a nice way. Today nobody speaks about it. Giving a lecture is not enough. Yeah, no, in most cases in a lecture, you are converting those who are converted. And those that have to be told, nobody is telling them anything whatsoever. A person will give a lecture in a masjid also, but at home the wrong that is happening in front of his eyes, he doesn't speak about it. And so the wrong is just gaining momentum all the time. And the truth is being trampled all the time. And we are the cause of it. So it's our duty that as far as we can. So and the tongue is a very, very important organ, and we have to keep roza of the tongue also. From one aspect also, we can, the child, for example, that Allah Ta'ala knows perfectly of what you were made. He knows your history perfectly. And you were made of this dirt. What right have you got to be proud or to use your tongue wrongly? You got no right whatsoever. That was a lesson taught to you before you came in this world already. You don't have a haughty attitude, a proud attitude, holier than thou attitude. I know. فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. I know you very well what you were. And هُوَ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And Allah Ta'ala is the one who made you from sand. Shaitan, he is not justified in any way. But that he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I'm better than Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِين. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِين. That you created me from fire. You created him from sand. Fire is a thing that goes upwards. Sand is a thing that goes down. We are created from sand. We got no cause, no reason to have the least bit of pride in us. Even if we have any good quality, it's not ours. It's somebody who is boasting about somebody else's. You took somebody else's car and you went and visit your friend. You boasting about that car. It's not your car. Whatever good there is, and we spoil that good which Allah has given us, we spoil it with so many, with our bad intentions, with how many other things. And it is all Allah given. And Allah can take it away when He wants to. This pride of a person, like a big businessman who signs a check of 10 million rand, 20 million rand, 20 million US dollars, that person, he's got quite a few pens in his pocket. Whether it is here in the inside pocket, the top pocket, or on his desk. On his desk he has got quite a... He chooses one pen to write out the check. If that pen boasts that I am worth 20 million US dollars, I wrote out this check. If that person has the choice, he can put that pen back. And many times you just again put that pen and you take another pen. So if Allah has chosen us for anything whatsoever, and we have that pride in us, and Allah has to cancel us and choose another one, it's not in our hands at all. All in there. We just have to be beggars, and we cry at the by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have got no right to be proud or to be proud in any way whatsoever. Or take this example in another way. You wrote out a 10 million check on check number 256, and now the check page is boasting that I am worth now 10 million. And he tells the check page beneath it, you got nothing written on you. You are not worth anything. I'm worth 10 million. And usually when a person has got this little bit pride, he makes a mistake. Now when you make, and today with the banks, one small mistake and they won't accept the check. Now you yourself will have to write over the check cancelled. So it mustn't happen. Allah save us that we mustn't get cancelled by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is all by this pride that comes in a person. Even by the usage of the tongue. And the tongue is the translator of what is in the heart. What is in the heart? A person, sometimes we say, I meant this. We have to be very careful with regard to the tongue. Once we were out on safar, I was with the family, and we told breakfast will be this time, just a little bit before that. The houseman came and knocked on the door. And when he knocked on the door, I said, coming, that we are coming. And my wife told me, you be careful. He could hear come in. Coming and come in. How close it can be. And I'm standing here and you are saying coming. Hey, so the tongue, the usage, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. Speak clearly, very, very clearly. And be very careful the words also you use. Anyway, that will be later. But with the tongue here, that Allah Ta'ala, before we were born, that it was nourished. And also, Allah Ta'ala made it such that that food that did not come from via your tongue. The umbilical cord from the mother goes to the navel because it's a dirty blood. So therefore Allah made it go there. But Allah showed, I kept your tongue clear. So I nourished you with this impure thing. But I kept your tongue clear because you are to come in the world to read Quran Sharif. You are to come in the world to take the name of Allah. Now how sad it is that many, many parents, I heard with my ears in shopping places with other people, not Muslims, they teach the children swear that uncle or chat back on him. Or you tell him, their parents teach the children wrong speech and how to swear. Where do children learn to swear? Did they come from it, was it from the womb of the mother? It is in this world. And from who does a child who is born to an Arab family is going to speak Arabic? He is born to an English family, he is going to speak English. So who teaches him the swear words? If he is swearing, either at home the mother is teaching him, or the mother teaches the child to lie. Or the mother teaches the child all bad habits. Or a little later, from friends, the child will pick up. Many parents get very worried that my child, we protected them so much, but now I don't know from where he's speaking these words that he's using now. He never used these words. And the other terrible thing is the cell phone, is the TV, and now it's on the cell phone. All these things. So Allah Ta'ala kept our tongue pure. And then not only that, Allah Ta'ala kept the tongue between two jaws. And on each of the jaws, the top jaw and the bottom jaw, Allah has put so many teeth there. And when you bite your teeth by your tongue by mistake sometimes, we know how painful that will be. The teeth that Allah has put, there are different types of teeth. The front teeth, then the two top ones, two bottom ones, then the other eight next to them, two on top on both sides, two on the bottom on both sides, they again different. Then the molars at the back to crush the food, it's all different, different. It is an example of the riot police. The police also, there are different types of police. If there's a riot in a place, you get the riot police. And they got weapons used for that occasion. So Allah has put this teeth here to control the tongue. That don't you, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That you don't utter a word, but immediately the two sentinels of Allah are there to note it down. We are being recorded, we are being watched all the time. A person goes in a supermarket, for example, and for no reason, no justifiable reason, some people just by habit, they don't need to, but he just picked up something and put it in his pocket. He stole it. But he doesn't need to steal. He doesn't need. He's not a poor person. But just that he, or young boys or girls, they just want to be a bit funny, and they just that we can do it. And they took something and they put it anyway. You put something in your pocket, you stole something. As you are going out, they are watching you. CCTV. You are under surveillance all the time, and the security tells you, sir, madam, we would just like to speak to you if you would just come one side. They take you in an office that you stole this, everyone denies first. But then they show it to you on the screen. They show you exact. Now when you see that, now you say, if I knew I was watched, I would never have done this. Just like that, every action of ours, Allah has got His farishtas. Now they might have got CCTV. And now you are under surveillance wherever you are. With your own cell phone, you are under surveillance all the time. With your own credit card, you are under surveillance all the time. You are being watched and you are being tracked all the time. And now only man has done this for what Allah, for him to do this, that he kept the kiram and katibin and all the other witnesses. Whenever we do any action, good or bad, there are four witnesses to it immediately. One is with the parts of the body that we do that action. a whole file is kept in every part of the body. That whatever a person will say on the day of, and these witnesses will turn state a witness on the day of Qiyamah. They will turn against us. Lima shahidtum alayna. A person will say to all his feet, to his legs. It is narrated, the first part of a human's body that will speak on the day of Qiyamah will be the thigh. And it will give evidence everything what it was used for. With whom it was used, where it was used. The whole files are kept there. Our Shaykh, Allah reward him, and when he comes to such subjects, then he says immediately, إِلَّا مَنْ تَعَبْ. However, a person who makes tawbah, Allah himself destroys the files for that person. A person who does his tawbah properly and correctly, sincerely, Allah destroys, that files won't come out on. But otherwise, if we did not make tawbah, and a person didn't come to his senses, and he's just carrying on with his sin, and on the day of Qiyamah, these files will come. So, the parts of the body, they will say, أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. That Allah has made us to speak, who has got the power, and to make, if He wants to, He can make any and everything speak. Everything. The second will be the ground on which we committed those sins. The ground will give evidence. Just like you use your credit card wherever, and it will show exactly which moment, which second you used it, where you used it, for what you used it, how much you used it for, it's going to show. Your evidence is going to be there. This is even more. Every piece of ground. Therefore, whenever, if we do make an error, with our eyes, with our tongue, follow it up with a good deed. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Do something good in return immediately. As soon as possible you become conscious, read لا إله إلا الله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. أستغفر الله. Follow it up with a good deed immediately. So where that will give bad evidence, the good evidence can also come. The third is كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. They are also recording everything all the time. And the fourth, it is all posted to the journal, to the ledger, to the journal, and there it sees what the hands say, and what the ground says, and what Kiram and Katibin say, whether it corroborates, it agrees, yes, this is, the proof is complete. This person has done this. So all this evidence is there. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, on the tongue will also speak. Not what we wanted to speak, but what it spoke in the whole lifetime. We can go back on our words, I didn't say that. And we take qasam, I didn't say that. And I didn't mean that. Whatever we say, but the tongue is going to speak. And unless evidence will be so complete, that you won't say you are quoting me out of context. Everything will be in context. What you meant at that time. And though the malaika don't know what is in your mind, what is in your heart, Allah knows everything. So therefore, we cannot do without tawbah. And we don't know how to thank our Allah, who to guide us, and to warn us of the pitfalls of life and the sins that we commit. He gave us all the warnings and He has made it complete. And at the same time, He has kept the doors of tawbah and istighfar wide open. His doors of mercy are wide open. Just turn to Him and ask Him for forgiveness and He will forgive. So this is what, and as soon, Allah so much has said that if somebody asks you for forgiveness, then forgive the person. There is wa'id for that person. There is a warning for that person. Somebody asks you to forgive and you don't forgive. How many of us, the wife asks for forgiveness, we don't want to forgive her. Others ask for forgiveness, we don't want. In fact, we just read Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, our Shaykh has written that one time one of his attendants made a mistake. Hazrat Shaykh reprimanded him that you made this mistake again. So he asked for maafi. Hazrat said, how much must I forgive you? And every time you're making the same mistake. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was sitting close by, whispered in Hazrat Shaykh's ears, how much you want Allah to forgive you on Qiyamah Day? You forgive this person. But many of us on our tongue, I won't forgive you till Qiyamah Day. No matter what happened, I won't forgive you. Learn to forgive. This is also a very easy way to get away from the azab of Allah. We forgive and Allah will forgive us inshallah in return. So we should learn to forgive. So anyway, the tongue Allah has put it and guarded it with the jaws and with the teeth. The thief, are like the riot police to guard the tongue. They don't speak out of turn. And the jaws are like the two regiments of the army. When a situation gets out of control, the riot police can't control it also. Then they have to call the army in. So for the control of the tongue, Allah has made all this precaution. If any country has got nuclear weapons, it doesn't mean the president of the country, whenever he feels like he can just go and press a button and the weapon can take off and in another far away country it goes and causes damage. No, there is procedure. So the tongue also, for words to come out, Allah has made proceed, but we don't apply that. And more damage than the press of a button can cause is what the tongue can cause. One vivid example which we all can understand, if you just express three times the talaq, what can happen after that? How families can be destroyed? How much it is important to learn to control the tongue? Ramzan is for that purpose, that we, for amongst many other things, that we learn to control the tongue. This is very, we see unfortunately, as much as we are speaking, Allah give us tawfiq, as we come in, people are standing by the wuzukhana, azan is going, and talking with one another, loudly talking, and we are not concerned about azan also is going, we should be getting prepared, and by the toilet section, usually the noise is even more louder. So there also, and one masjid I saw, it made me very happy, where there was a notice that avoid using the toilets azan time. Azan is a Mubarak time, but at that time we don't respect azan also. And not only don't respect, we don't reply to azan, we don't respect azan. This is very important. And we should try, nobody can police us and monitor. If we tell our friends, please, azan is carrying on, and don't now start the argument and let a bigger noise take place also. But in a nice way, please, azan is carrying on, or namaz is going to get ready. And we come and sit in the masjid. Even if you do nothing, just with the niyat of i'tikaf, you're going to get sawab. Ramzan is the month to be making tilawat. We can be sitting here, reading, read tasbih, make dua, make zikr. There are so many things we can do. So the tongue is a great amanat of Allah, from Allah Ta'ala. We should learn to use it correctly. And in order to use it correctly, in this month, try not to use it. In anything, what we are encouraged to do, tilawat of Quran, zikr, all that we should do. But just talking, permissible talk, try and avoid that also. As much as we can. And then we will get the tongue to stay away from haram throughout the 11 months of the year. May Allah give us all tawfiq and safeguard us.